gosh, brings back memories, doesn't it? Love that tune. Wonder if you could call up the oldies station and get them to play that for you. Good job, and I. It's NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. Let's do beautiful by the square foot right now. The Home Depot has new life-proof carpet with advanced stain technology built in and our best warranty ever. Stains are a part of life. With life-proof, they don't have to be. The Home Depot also offers start-to-finish installation by trained, experienced flooring professionals who are going to get the job done right. Visit HomeDepot.com/flooring for details. Home Depot, more saving, more doing. All right, Joel Cordes from Bleacher Report going to join us. And no, leave the music on. I bet Joel is digging the music totally. Go, let that go. I guarantee you Joel Cordes is down with our bumper music. Is that right?
Let's just stay here for a while. Let's just stay here and enjoy it. High five to your producer. High five to John Tesh. He gets a lifetime pass just for that song alone.
He sure does. Absolutely does. Joel, thanks for being with us this morning. I guess I want to start with the streak. It continues. It's 21 games. The Barclays Center a little bit later on today against the Brooklyn Nets. They're not likely to put up much of a fight the way they've been playing this year. But you know what? When you're the man, when you're the champ, everybody plays a little bit better, steps up a little bit more. I imagine that ratchets up even higher when there's a winning streak involved too, right?
Absolutely, and the Raptors gave them a game last night. There was no doubt about it. Toronto had played them tough earlier in the year in another loss. Toronto's been playing well, actually, the last 5-10 games here. They beat Cleveland the other night. They're a team that's starting to come together. They needed to play the absolute perfect game in order to beat Golden State, and the Warriors had a few stumbles down the line. There was a few times where it looked like they were just kind of going through the motions of their offense. Late, they were hoping that Steph Curry was going to bail them out. He wound up doing so with another 44 points and was 9 of 15 from downtown, which is just ridiculous. The team shot 16 of 30 from three. But at the same time, Toronto got 41 points from Kyle Lowry. They missed a couple of chippies and a couple of defensive assignments at the end, but they were right there. And in fact, they were the ones in the driver's seat through much of the fourth quarter. It was Golden State who was kind of having to trade punches and catch up.
Yeah, it really was. And honestly, you come down to it, you talk about coming down to the wire. It's the last 3 or 4 seconds of the game where Corey Joseph actually turned the ball over by actually dribbling it off his foot or something like that. Or maybe that was a pass to Drake. I'm not really sure if that's what he was doing, but Drake was not dressed for the game, so he was not able to complete the pass. But, yeah.
Toronto only turned the ball over 6 times that entire game.
Wow.
I mean, you talk about coming close to the doorstep, and then you throw in the Corey Joseph one, which I think Steph Curry actually got a poke away on that. You know, they were awfully close. They were really, really close. It doesn't count for anything, but it shows that Golden State, they didn't have the killer instinct last night. Golden State did not get out in front and then just put the hammer down. They continued to let Toronto stay around, and it was at home. So we've seen little cracks like this before. Golden State's not going to go 82-0. And when they lose, it'll be because somebody actually climbed the mountaintop on a night the Warriors weren't locked in all the way.
And you know what? They were pretty locked in, but they showed opportunity. This was a place where it could have happened. It could have gone down, and it might have been on that last play, with the, whether it's poked away, dribbled away, whatever it was. Nonetheless, the Barclays Center today, they're up again coming up in a few hours, and we'll see if maybe that's where they stumble. Not likely, even on back-to-backs. The team is just so deep, so talented. Now, let's go to the Miami game. Immediately, I'm going to that, and not because Miami loses 99-84. I mean, Cleveland loses to Miami 99-84, but because of what we heard from the crowd.
LeBron is tired.
LeBron is tired! LeBron is tired!
LeBron is tired. Wow, if this is really becoming a chant in NBA arenas, I get it. It's Miami. It's where he's from. Seems like they were having a little bit of fun with him, but that's a little bit of fun, but it's a little bit of serious, too. It's like, oh, really? You're too tired to play tonight?
Well, LeBron is just saying, I'll see you guys in May, and we'll see how tired I am then. You know, that's all that's going down then.
Touché.
They're gonna meet in the playoffs. There's almost no doubt about it. Miami is the second best team in the East right now, and I think that they will be there in the standings by the time it's all said and done. The plan has always been that LeBron is going to sit some games a season. He's going to sit some fourth quarters when they can buy that time. It looks a lot worse right now, and they're also missing Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert. Kevin Love has been in the three-game swoon. He was terrible last night, and they've been on a three-game losing streak to coincide with this. But it is all part of the plan, and Cleveland, as long as they're a top-four seed but healthy when they get into the playoffs, that is all they want. So Miami Heat fans, chant away. You will not be missing LeBron on the court when you guys meet in May.
Joel Cordes is with us from Bleacher Report. We talk NBA every Sunday morning. You know, Houston Rockets finally got what they wanted. They get 18 boards out of Dwight Howard. They get 31 out of their superstar, James Harden. They get a victory 120 to 113 over Sacramento. What's the winning formula? What do you got to do to get these guys to play like that every night? Just play an inferior opponent?
Well, it does help that Sacramento gives up a bunch of points, but Sacramento also can put up a lot of points on the board, too, and it did turn into a track meet during certain portions of that game. I think the winning formula, though, for Houston is that they're going to play with a motor, any kind of motor. Last night, the difference that I saw was Dwight Howard sprinting up the floor. Mm-hmm. He was leading out on fast breaks, not just trailing behind. Terrence Jones was out in front on fast breaks, and then they were getting back on defense as well, at least more often than not. And there was a concentrated effort to box out on shots, to close out on shots. I mean, just the little things we take for granted. But honestly, it was those little things that were absolutely killing the Rockets, and they were just basic effort plays. So I don't know if it's that they've put Clint Capella into the starting lineup. I don't know if there's been that chance for James Harden and Ty Lawson to sit down and talk, which has happened, and I'm sure that's not the only person to sit down with James Harden lately. Dwight Howard looked invested last night. He was coming off a rest night before that, so he was fresh. So can they do this every night? Can they do this most nights? That's going to decide on whether the Rockets are a fringe playoff team and still the year's biggest disappointment, or are they going to get back to being what we thought they were? And that's a legitimate dark horse title contender. My guess is it'll be somewhere in the middle.
You know what? Exactly where I was wanting to go with you while you were setting that up is I think probably somewhere in the middle is where they're going to wind up falling. Listen, this is an odd one for me. Charlotte at Chicago. The Hornets get the victory 102-96. And as I'm looking at the box score, I'm like, okay, well, who didn't play? Well, Derrick Rose had 19. Jimmy Butler had 25. Pau Gasol had 13 and 11. They got pretty good production out of their players. But I think what I see on the other side of the score is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different guys in double figures. So does that tell me that Chicago is just not playing defense right now?
No, their defense has been fine. Charlotte is one of those teams that has kind of been a roadkill surprise team for a lot of people all season. They chuck a ton of threes. They put up 34 last night. They only made 10 of them. But they have a lot more weapons and a lot more variables. They're never going to out-talent you, but they at least have guys up and down the roster who can knock down shots. And on nights where at least some of them are knocking them down, they're pretty difficult to guard because you can't just key in on one guy. You know, Charlotte only shot 41% last night from the field, 29% from the floor. They lost the rebounding battle by two. They lost the assist battle. And they only had 9 turnovers. So they do take care of the basketball. They play decent defense themselves. This is just one of those games where I don't know that it's Chicago's or defense that's the problem. It's the fact that they're not getting everybody else involved offensively. Rose and Butler were decent, although not entirely efficient. Powell had kind of a quiet game. They didn't get anything from their supporting contributors outside of McDermott. So Chicago is still trying to figure out their offense. Defensively, though, they've been solid enough that I won't complain or be worried about that quite yet.
You know, I want to talk about San Antonio because this team, they go about their business quietly, and maybe it's because they're not in a gigantic media market there in San Antonio, Texas. But, you know, this team, it wasn't impressive. They take on the Boston Celtics. They get the victory, which is all they're after, 108-105. That's probably more points than Pop wants them to give up. But, again, when you flip over and you look at the box score for these guys, if you're a coach, I think this is exactly what you want to see. You see 15 out of Kawhi Leonard, 17 out of LaMarcus Aldridge, 10 out of Tony Parker, 15 out of Manu Ginobili, 9 out of Patty Mills off the bench, 16 out of Boris Diaw. Even David West gave you 10 points and 6 rebounds. This team is so balanced and so deep. Boy, I can't wait to get to the playoffs and see what happens in the West this year.
No, and I can't wait to get to late January when they finally play the Warriors for the first time. These have been the two best teams all season. Nobody, of course, realizes that about San Antonio just because it's the Spurs and people always overlook them. Plus, the Warriors have been so dominant. But you look at the point differential and wins. Golden State is beating people by 14, almost 15 points per game. That's insane. Yeah. But San Antonio is beating people by 10 points per game, and the nearest next competitor is at like 5. So San Antonio is doubling up on the nearest non-Warriors competition as well. And they're really going old school with this. San Antonio's dialed back the clock to about 7-8 years ago. They're holding opponents right now to a league-leading 89 points per game. Which, think about that here in the modern era where everybody's chucking up threes and the scores continue to just inch higher. That is really impressive. And the fact that they're able to do this, and they're only scoring 99 points per game themselves. Pop himself has said it. The offense is not where he wants it to be. He doesn't think it's going to fully click until March. And that's the learning curve of trying to bring in LaMarcus Aldridge and then losing some of their key bench guys from last year. And yet, San Antonio 17-4 right now.
Wow.
Only scoring 99 points per game. They're 17-4. If the Warriors weren't doing what they do, you know, San Antonio would be grabbing some of the headlines here, but the Spurs have always preferred to kill them softly, and that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, and Pop thinks they're going to be better come March. That's absolutely terrifying for the other teams in the West. One of these days, you and I are going to break down why it is that everybody overlooks this team every single year, and all they do is win and put up astonishing numbers with their incredible superstar, Tim Duncan, and
characters. I'll sum it up for you real quick. We overlook the sun rising and setting every day, too. You know, we take that for granted, and it's kind of a great thing, and San Antonio just does it. So we just kind of expect that it's there.
You want somebody that knows the NBA, we got him right here, Joel Cordes, B-Ball Joel on Twitter, and you can find him on Bleacher Report. Thanks, Joel. Talk to you next Sunday.
Very good. Thank you.
Great stuff, as always. Wow, does that guy break it down. All right, to coming up next, I got the lock of the week for you. Stay close to NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app.